Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Drop them off for an hour, they come back for Clean Kids. We don't believe that here, right? We get involved. You guys are involved. You're doing stuff at home, right? Your kids are getting the gospel at home. We're reinforcing it here in church. So I love it when you guys are like, yeah, because I believe it then. If you just sit there like, maybe, I don't know. Baby, what do we do for the kids? I don't know. Some husband be like, yeah, there was some people in the back seat today. I didn't. Of course not. That's not you. All right. If you have your Bible, that means you want to hear from God today. If you have your Bible, however it is, it's on your phone, your pad, your paper Bible, if you read on the screen, if you've made the effort, that means you want to hear from God if you have your Bible, right? That probably means you're reading it. If you have something to take notes with, it means you want to be used by God because you're probably not going to remember everything, all right? So you have to jot some notes down. So I'm challenging you guys. Get ready, all right? We're going to look at Ephesians 3, and I'm going to call today the main thing. But actually, the long name is called, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Anybody with me? Right? Main thing. It actually makes sense. You just have to say it slow. At least I do. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Right? Makes sense. All right. Ephesians 3. When I think of this, all right, I just have to pause right there. When I think of this, this is Apostle Paul writing from prison, and he is reflecting back, in chapter 3, he's reflecting back to a couple things that we'll refer to in a little bit. Number one is the mystery of the gospel being presented to the Gentiles, which most of us are probably Gentiles. And that's what he's talking about. When I think of this, when you're reading and you come across scripture and it says, when I think of this, you probably want to go back and find out what this means, all right? Some translations would say, therefore, right? So when you come across therefore, you have to, of course, go back and see what it's there for. Yeah, okay. So we got that. Unpause. Here we go. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. Say mysterious.
Mysterious.
That's an intriguing word, right? Some of you guys are like, whoa, that word's in the Bible? I thought it was only like, you know, mysterious books, mystery books, you know, murder mystery. No, there is a mystery that we're going to talk about here that Apostle Paul was called. His mysterious plan to me, verse 4. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. So there is a mystery. There's a mystery at foot here, and it is why God is revealing his precious gospel to the Gentiles for the first time in history, right? And there's lots of things that are going on here, but let's finish the passage, and then we'll come back and lay some foundation. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly, say boldly, and confidently, say confidently. We need to know that we can enter into God's presence with boldness and with confidence. Some of you guys, that's what you need to hear, right? If you're taking notes, write that down. I can enter into God's presence with boldness and confidence. Bam, you can. Okay? Get ready. We got more. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. We'll unpack that in just a little bit. Paul, again, writing from prison for his disobedience, but he's doing it because it impacted others, and the Ephesian church is the others, and so we'll see about that in just a second. Please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of all this, referring back again, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth, which pretty much is everything. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resource, can somebody say unlimited resource? God's got it all. He has got it all. He is not a God of scarcity. So I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resource, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will be able to make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you muy fuerte, okay? It will keep you strong. All right, sorry, some of you guys thought that was Greek. It's like almost like Greek, right? Spanish is close to Greek in this. I don't know what that means, okay. So, I'm going to give you a little background, and then we're gonna camp out here and talk about this, because the Apostle Paul lays a foundation, and then he talks about this prayer. He is praying for the church in Ephesus, and he's praying that they would be encouraged and that their faith would grow deep. He is writing this from prison. He was in prison because he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, which the Roman leaders thought that was, and the Jewish leaders, thought that was a problem, and it was disruptive to temple practices, all right, and disruptive in general. And so they didn't want this new thing to be a problem and to upset the apple cart. Up until this time, there was the Jewish religion, right? Which at this point in time, for the first time ever, it was splitting off. Christianity was splitting off of Judaism. And so there was big concerns. If you read the book of Acts, and you'll see that there was lots of questions. Do you have to be a Jew first, or, you know, adhere to Jewish religion to become a Christian? And the answer is unequivocally, no, you do not. But when it's first starting, man, there's a lot of questions that arise. And so we have the benefit of being in church all of our life. Some of us have the benefit of being in church all of 30 minutes. And if that's you, you're supposed to be here today. Congratulations. Welcome. God's got something for you. Please do not leave without receiving what God has for you. Some of you guys have been in church all your life. Some of you, your parents have been in church. Their parents have been in church. We take things for granted when we know what we're doing, and we've been Christians, and we're fourth generation Christians or fifth generation Christians, or, you know, maybe we're going to be Christians for the first time later on at the end of service, which is all fine. At this point in history, they were kind of concerned. They're like, man, am I a Jew? Am I a Gentile? Am I a Greek? What am I doing? And Paul, at this point, says, God revealed the mystery. He revealed it to me. And so in Paul's heart, he knew that God had called him to this special, mysterious revelation, and that was that the gospel would go first to the Jewish folk, but then also to the Gentiles. And so, being good Gentiles, you didn't know anything about, you know, Jewish religion a lot of times, but Paul is saying, God has told me to reach the masses, to reach the Gentiles, to preach the gospel to them, and I am apostle to the Gentiles. So this is a first, and you guys are going, man, you're belaboring the point. I get it, I know, but it's important that we understand that the gospel is for us. The gospel is for everyone. It's for the Jew, it's for the Gentile, it's for the Greek, it's for the truck driver, it's for the Walmart worker. It's for the Sunday school teacher. It's for the housewife. It's for me. It's for you. It's for everybody. All right? And that's a good thing. Christianity says you have Jesus' grace because you receive it, because you take it. It's a free gift. Other religions would say you can have our religion if you work for it, if you buy it, if you attain it, if you grovel, right? If you're good enough, if you're bad enough. Christianity just says, man, you got it. You got it, man. And I don't know about you guys, but like when I was growing up, my parents didn't know if I got it, all right? Because I was getting it, you know what I'm saying? And it's just by the grace of God, man, I was going down the wrong way, right? I was not on heaven's highway, if you hear what I'm saying. And so grace prevailed, and I am here, and I am thankful that the gospel is for everyone, all right? So if you, amen. If you know some people that need the grace of God, there are very few seats that are still available, all right? First come, first serve. You guys need to be inviting some people to church that need that grace, right? Please don't be stingy with God's grace, okay? He has plenty of it. Let's pack it up. Let's fill this place up. You know what's amazing in the power of dynamics is when some of you guys get pushed out of your chair, okay? It's going to happen, all right? It's just going to happen. Some of you guys might have to give up your chair for somebody that's never sat in a church chair before, and when you're sitting on the floor or you're standing on the back, it feels good. It feels good. You know what I'm saying? When you don't get your parking place, it's going to be good, all right? It just is. And when you got to wait in line to get out, man, last time you went to a concert, you had to wait in line to get out, all right? And you had to come early. You know what I'm saying? I get excited about stuff like that because God's stuff is way better than the world's stuff. All right, we need to move on. God had that plan. He described it in length. You can read about it in Acts 9 where Paul and the apostles are unpacking this whole new gospel to the Gentiles. Peter has a dream in Acts 10, and there are examples upon examples of grafting. It's been called a marriage, right? And so the Jewish people cannot just have the gospel of Christ to themselves. But we get to share it with everybody. By the time we leave here today, we're going to explore some spiritual growth principles. We're going to explore spiritual life versus religious life. There's a big difference, right? I want to be spiritual. If you talk to people in the world today about spirituality, you can have a great conversation. I had a conversation with a guy in Starbucks. I think it was last Wednesday. His name was Jonah. He was very spiritual. We got along spiritually. A lot of times, spiritual people don't like religious people. All right, and it's really easy to get religious. There's a big difference, all right? And I think the biggest difference is found in your heart when you have that inner strength coming from your inside. We're going to talk about happy trials and contentment. We're going to talk about big picture suffering. And we're going to talk about God's plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. Everybody in here, listen to me. It's not an accident you're here. I'm not just saying this random, willy-nilly, whatever that means. God has a plan for your life. He wants to give you power. He wants to give you resource. He wants to give you plans and directions, and you have to reach out and grab it. My brother with your hand up, he's got something for you. You have to reach out and receive it. God is saying, I give it to you. I've got more than you need. I've got more than enough, but you're going to have to do your part and get it. It's there. You got to take it. It's like sitting down at a table, man. The food is set. The place is set. You got more knives and forks and you know what to do with, and it's piled high. And you just sit there and you're like, wish I could eat. Come on, man, eat. Come on. All right, let's get on. I'm going to tell you two stories today. I'm going to tell you they're both biblical stories. One is about a guy named Simon the Sorcerer. One is about Queen Esther. And we're going to deal with this inner spiritual growth, the internal man, the internal strength and spirituality. And this guy named Simon the Sorcerer first experiences God in the chapter 8 of Acts. And then he doesn't really know what to do with it. But he doesn't have his internal man where it needs to be. And so he kind of misses the mark. Later on, we'll see Queen Esther when she has it going on and she understands the power of God internally. A man named Simon had been a sorcerer. I'm sorry, this is from Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 9. A man named Simon the Sorcerer had been a sorcerer for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming to be someone great. Everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke of him as the great one, the power of God. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. Down to verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them because they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's our baptism plug again. Verse 17. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers and they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. Let me have this power too, he exclaimed, so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter replied, "You may your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought." Church ain't for sale, mister. Ma'am, God's power is not for sale, but it's obtainable for you. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts, for I can see that you are bitter and jealous and that you are held captive by sin. Then Simon said, "Pray to the Lord for me that these terrible things that you have said won't happen to me." He did not have the inner strength that he needed to have. I'm going to go back and I'm going to jump into this passage and we're going to go verse 14, 15, 16, and 17 today. And Lord willing, when I'm back in 2 weeks, we're going to finish the rest of this, all right? So I hope you're ready. We're going to give you everything you need now, and we're going to keep you, like, you put a cliffhanger out there, and you're going to go, I can't wait to come back, all right? Not just in 2 weeks, but you'll be like, I can't wait to come back for the thing tonight. I can't wait to come back next Sunday, and it's going to be a habit, all right? Just getting filled up with Jesus is going to be a habit. It's going to be good stuff. So I hinted a little bit when Paul says about this, all right, verse 14. When I think of all this, he's really talking about up to the beginning of chapter 3, this mystery of the gospel. This is Paul's call to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. It first happened in Acts 9. This was God's secret plan for the apostle Paul. God may have a secret plan for you, but because your inner man and because your tenacity about the things of God is just not there yet, God is going, I got it for you. Will you chase after it? Will you come after it? There's some mysteries, friends, that some of you guys have to uncover yourself. You might be praying, but until you get serious about it, you know? Until you go, I gotta figure this out. God hides things sometimes. And if the Apostle Paul hadn't been tenacious enough and you know, just cantankerous enough to go, I'm gonna go after this and I'm gonna get it, we might not even know about the Apostle Paul. It might have been somebody else that said, you know, I'm gonna go after this. I came back, this is maybe about a year ago or so, and I'd been praying for something. And I said, God, I really need an answer, Lord. And then I would pray, and then I'd move along my prayer list, and God bless this guy, and help my kids, and help this. And I came away from some time with Pastor Ron. That'll change you, right? And I came back, and I told my wife, I'm like, I've been praying for this thing long enough. I go, I'm going to get serious with God. All right, and don't mistake my confidence for arrogance, because I would not be arrogant toward God. But I was being confident, and I think God likes that, right? I think he likes us to be confident. He said, I want you to be bold. I want you to be bold. Get out after it. I'm hiding stuff. Go get it. And so I said, baby, I said, I'm going to get serious with God. I'm going to pray until something happens. You guys heard the acronym PUSH? Pray until something happens. I go, I'm going to push, and I'm going to push, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to get serious with God. I'm going to get, And either I'm going to get an answer or God's going to go, back off, boy. Either one's fine. But I'm going to get an answer. So I prayed and I told my wife, literally, now usually I wasn't expecting it to be this long, but literally 24 hours later, God said, here, boom. He confirmed it with my wife. He confirmed it in some other kind of crazy ways. But I go, all right, I got it. I knew this was God. And I don't think I would have had an answer to that, because it wasn't life or death kind of situations. It was just something that I'm like, I need to get serious, because I got to feel like I got to get on with my life after this. And God came through and he answered 24 hours later. Best thing ever, man. No questions about it. God wants that for you. He wants you to get serious. He wants you to get beyond the mystery. He does. Amen. And if you're clapping, you know what? Maybe that's something for you. And maybe I'm going to pray a prayer for anybody out there struggling with the mystery. It is a good thing to get up for something, man, to go for it, to go beyond your normal, right? To go beyond the daily routine, to push until something happens. All right. He's suffering in prison. Paul is suffering in prison because he was preaching the gospel, but his cry and his prayer wasn't, oh God, free me from prison, right? We don't see that. His prayer wasn't like, oh God, let these pagan jailers just disintegrate right now and the bars of this jail open up because I've done so much for you. I'm in here preaching the gospel and that's why I'm in prison. So God, you owe this to me. You know what he says? He says, hey, Ephesians church, I'm in here because of preaching the gospel for you, but don't feel bad about it. Be blessed. I'm taking one for the team. I'm taking one for you, all right? The main thing is the main thing here. It's to keep you guys encouraged. That's awesome. And see, that's the kind of guy that writes the Bible. Me and you, right, we blog, right? We write a note on a sticky pad, right? He writes the Bible, right? Big difference. And he says, you guys should feel encouraged because I'm a prisoner for Christ. He suffers, and that's why Ephesians and some of the minor epistles are called the prison epistles, because Paul writes them from prison. So discouragement from suffering for their sake. Paul willingly suffers for them, and I think he would kind of liken it to childbirth. All right, I was there when both my children were born, and I hear it's pretty painful. Ladies, I'm not taking anything away from you, but there is pain involved in childbearing, all right? Guys get the good part, you know what I'm saying? And ladies, you know, you get all the pain there, and I just say thank you to every mom, grandma, right, my mother. But it's worth it, right? There's a lot of pain, but in the end, it's all good, right? Because you get to hold a little bundle of joy. And that's what Paul was saying. He goes, I'm going through some suffering right now, but it's for you and it's because of you. And unless I suffer, you would not know Christ. Because if I didn't preach, you wouldn't know Christ, but then again, I wouldn't be in jail. So Paul is saying, I'm glad you received the Christ, you received the gospel. I'm glad I preached. So I guess I got to be glad I'm in jail. And he says, I am a prisoner of Christ, not of the Romans, not of the Jews. I'm not a prisoner on because of you. He says, I'm a prisoner of Christ. He calls himself Christ's prisoner. He falls on his knees. Okay. When I think of this, I fall on my knees and pray to the Father. Falling on your knees, I believe, is an illustration. I believe Paul probably did that literally, but I believe it's also an illustration saying that the physical position illuminates the heart. I don't know what your morning routine for your prayer time is. I just hope you have one, all right? Just whether it's in the morning or night, I shouldn't say morning, night, as long as you have that time every day set aside for God. I know we have our devotional readings, and I hope you guys are all joining us. If you haven't had the app yet, the app is awesome. It has everything you need on it. and we can all read the same things together. But in my morning routine, a lot of times there's Bible reading involved, there's praying involved, there's caffeine involved, okay? And there's just times where I pray, and when I fall on my knees, is anybody on your knees prayer kind of person? A lot of you guys, okay, so first service was not so much. You guys have a lot. Sometimes I get on my knees and I just pray, man, and I grovel, and man, it's good, and it just, everything zones out, man. I got my face buried in a pillow. I'm just like, oh, God. But then sometimes the on your knees prayer could lead to other things, like sleep, okay? So I was going to be honest. I've woken up groggy from a few prayers sometimes. Like, man, did I really pray for an hour? No, I didn't. And so I have to do the walk around prayer. Anybody do the walk around prayer? You just kind of pray and walk, all right? And you got your Fitbit on and you get two birds and one stone. You hear what I'm saying? I'm just, you know, if I get 1,000 steps in the morning while I'm praying, it's a good day, okay? So however you do it, but there's something about our posture that says what we're supposed to do. Times that I feel like God's just like, man, get on your knees, and I do, and I get down, and I pray, and I'm like, oh, God, you know, I'm begging of you this. And other times I'm walking around, I'm just having a conversation. All right, God, what do you want today? What are we going to do? We have different agendas a lot of times, or we think different things, or we pray differently based on our posture, because our physical position illuminates the heart. I believe what really Paul is trying to say here is it's about humility, and I have a word about humility. Good. Humility is good, all right? We are talking about confidence, but we're also talking about humility. Ephesians 6, let me go back to James 4:10 says this, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. I want to put it this way too. Here's a great saying, man. If you're getting ready to write, you can write this down. This is good. This will preach. Some of you guys, you need to teach a Sunday school, or you're doing a Bible study, small group. Get this, because this is good. When you approach God full, he empties you. But when you approach God empty, he fills you up. You hear what I'm saying? God still fills up empty vessels. And I would much rather empty myself and have God fill me than have God empty me. Because I could be a little delicate. God is delicate too, don't get me wrong. But when I'm talking about we approach God full, I'm really talking about pride. All right, God, what you got for me today? I'm going to do it because I'm a man of God. Versus God, use this little worm servant of yours today. Man. All right. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after having done everything to stand, stand. Sometimes we have to be on our knees. Sometimes we have to be face down and in a position of humility. Sometimes God lets us stand, and we stand and we fight. Standing means not sitting, and it also means not running. It just means holding your ground. But then, once we sit at the feet of Jesus and we learn and we're humble and we bow, then you know what? Then there comes a time where he says, I want you to stand, and I want you to take a stand for me. And then you know what? Since you stand so well, let's start running. And then we're going to run together, and we're going to move on down the road. Enoch walked with God and was no more. Esther fell down before the presence of the king and said, oh, king, I need a favor. I beg you, would you answer my request? Paul speaks out and he evokes God's father title and creator title. He says this in the latter part of 14 and 15. Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. Acts 17:28 says this, for in him we live and move and exist. Or if you are used to the translation that I grew up in him we live, say it with me, in him we live and move and what? Have our being. Good. You guys get gold stars. In him we live and move and have our being. That's everything. You see, Paul talks about God the Father in a patriarchal society. And he said, without a father, there is no protection. Without a father, there is no sustenance for the household. When the father, the will of the father begats children. And he talks about God the creator. Paul doesn't choose his words just randomly. He talks about God the Father who starts it all. God the creator who spoke everything into existence and speaks life into existence and will speak life into your dark places today. If there's a dark place that you're hiding from God and you're sick of it, or maybe you're not sick of it yet, but there's still a dark place, God wants to come in and as creator speak light into that situation, because the creator is the sustainer, the beginner, and the author of your faith. Amen. Amen. Verse 16, Paul says, I pray that his glorious unlimited resource, with his glorious unlimited resource, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. This is a powerful statement. Powerful. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resource, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Matthew 16, 19 says this about prayer. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Prayer directs God's heart. Prayer changes things. Prayer is a powerful tool that we don't tap into far enough, church. What is prayer? I'm glad you asked. Prayer is communicating with God, hearing from God, but more so, it is aligning with God. See, one of the things we need to pray, we pray in boldness, but a lot of times when we pray in boldness, we're forgetting to say, oh yeah, God, and I'm praying very, very bold and very direct, but if you want to change my mind, or you want to change my heart or change my prayer, please do it. You ever pray for that? You pray for something. God, I believe this is your will, that this happened. I need this new job in Jesus' name. Nothing wrong with that prayer, right? But then if you're listening to God and he goes, hey, son, you don't need that new job. And you're like, all right. So then you modify your prayer and you go, God, I just pray for favor. I pray for that I would be able to serve in this job. And you change your prayer language. You change the way you pray, right? Nothing wrong with that, but you got to be able to hear God before those things happen. A lot of people talk about prayer, and that's good. But I think when it's all said and done, there's a lot more said than done. And the greatest thing about talking about prayer is praying. We're going to pray right now. And ladies and gentlemen, we're finna have some church up in here. All right? I hope you're ready. A couple weeks ago, I prayed. I felt God prompt me to pray for jobs and for people to have jobs, find jobs, have better jobs. And we did. And we got so much response from that. And it's been on my heart ever since. Guess what? We're going to pray for jobs again. And so what I'm going to do, there's like five things. All right. Somebody's excited about that. Somebody needs a better job, a newer job, a job with more finance. We're going to pray it in. All right. I'm going to pray about five or six things, and when I do, I just want you guys, when you're praying, just, man, if I say something, you're like, oh, I'm going to get me a piece of that, man, just reach up and grab it. Not that you really have to go. You know, we're not looking, this is not mime school, you know, no to that, but yes to no, okay. I just want you to reach up, man, just whatever, you know what I'm saying? God knows your heart, man, just your little arms of your heart, whatever that means, could come out, okay, I don't know. But I'm going to pray. I want saints praying. I want you guys to pray. And if you just feel like, I need some of that, just lift your hands up and get you some, all right? Father God, right now in Jesus' name, God, from Valley Bible, East Campus to the West Campus, to Visalia, to every place in between, I can't even think right now, to Ventura, to Las Vegas, and all of our affiliates, God, to Springtown, and all of our people in the internet audience, God, we pray right now that there would be jobs. Lord, anybody that needs a job and needs a place to work and to contribute, I pray that you open the doors for them in Jesus' name. Lord, there may be some people that need increased finance in their job, and I pray that you provide another job, or I pray that you provide a raise in Jesus' name, Lord. You reach out and you touch those things and make it happen. God, we also pray for marriages that are strained right now. If there's husband and wife that need to be reconciled, God, I pray that you reconcile it, release angels to do marriage reconciliation in Jesus' name. For kids that are estranged right now, God, kids that living at home that are tempting with rebellion, or kids that are on their own, God, and not living where they're at, God, even right now on this Sunday afternoon, that you would reach out to them and bring them back into the fold. We claim these things in Jesus' name. God, for provision, for health, and for wisdom, I pray. Lord, you would just be in abundance. You said where we were to ask for wisdom, you would give it liberally. And I pray that that would be wisdom upon wisdom in this place. And all God's saints said in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We have some church up in here. Church is an amazing thing, right? It's such a crossroads of, you know, of hearing from God and learning and discipleship and mentoring and social, you know, things and a place to serve, and we get to pray and sing, and man, there's so much going on. But we have some prayer right here, right? And there's some things you cannot do alone. Prayer is one of them, right? But then there's also corporate prayer, right? Where two or three are gathered, Man, or where 2,000 or 3,000. I just wonder if it's better. You know, I mean, maybe it's not, but because we need both, right? So you can pray by yourself, you can pray with 2 or 3, or today we pray with 2,000 or 3,000, and oh, it's even better. You know, it's good. All right. Paul speaks of glorious, unlimited resources. John 1:12 says, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become the COG. Anybody with me? COG, are you with me? You have the right to become the child of God. You should have confidence in the child of God that you are, because your daddy rich. Your daddy owns it all. Your God, Father, Daddy has everything. COG. And for some of you guys that have been around for a while, you're the COG OG. That was pretty good, huh? See, if you grew up and Beyonce was your mom, you probably, maybe you're out here. I know she got an, I don't know her name. I'm sorry. I don't follow celebrity pop culture that much. And you grow up, man, and you go to Starbucks, you don't have to pay, right? Because your mama Beyonce. Right? You got a long restaurant line, you jump the line, right? Because your mama is Beyonce. I'm just saying, right? And you take for granted for that. Like, hey, I want that. I want that. Give me that. If I don't have to buy it, I'll just get it because my mama's a celebrity. Your daddy is a celebrity. Your father, God, owns it all. All. You need to reach out and grab some of your daddy's stuff. Lest we be greedy. In all humility do I say this. God wants to bless you a lot more than you're being blessed. I'm not preaching just a kind of name it and claim it thing. I don't think that's biblical. But I am saying this. God can only work with what you give him. If God gives you something and you think it's yours and you hold on to it with sticky fingers, and when God blesses you with a character quality and you use it in the wrong way, or God blesses you with a big raise and you don't tithe and you don't bless others, God's going, can you give me something to work with here? You see, it's those with open hands that God wants to bless. It's those with open homes that God wants to bless. It's those with open hearts that God wants to bless. You can be those people. God is not a God of scarcity, but he's a God of abundance. The more that you want, the more you need to give away. Love is better when it's given away, right? Funds are better when they're given away. Character is better when you give it away. Your time is better time when you give it away. God is not stingy. God is not a God of scarcity. God is a God of abundance. And the more that you let him give you of anything, he will give it to you if you give it to others. Amen. Amen. You are blessed to be a blessing. Empower, Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The word here for power is dunamis. It's the same word that Paul uses in verse 16 when he says, with God's unlimited resources, he will empower you with strength through his spirit. Empower. It's the power that they were talking about on high from the Holy Spirit. It's dunamis. It's the word we get dynamite. It means miraculous power, strong, mighty, powerful, able, influential. And you know what? We are supposed to be not just powerful in the name of Jesus, but I think we're supposed to be superheroes in the name of Jesus, from that power, the dunamis, the dynamite from God. And when God says he gives you power, he's saying, I'm going to give you dynamite power. There's one thing to be power, right? Ooh, that's powerful. I'm talking about dynamite powerful, all right? I'm talking explosive. You guys that are children of the early 80s, right? You guys remember this picture. I got a throwback picture for you. Here's dynamite. You guys remember that? Jimmy Walker, he would do this thing right here. You guys that don't know what we're talking about, you're like, you guys are weird. We are weird, okay? It's all right. I wanted you to remember that picture because of dynamite, because of dunamis, because of the power of God that wants to live in your heart if you let him. It's that internal person that wants to be used by God. All right. Amen, amen, amen. You have that inner strength, and he will use it through his spirit. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says this: "That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and insults and hardship, persecutions and trouble that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then who is strong? I am strong." I think that's one of the most misquoted scriptures in the Bible. A lot of people like to say, "When I am weak, he is strong." And yes, that's true, but that's not what the scripture says. It says, when you are weak, you are strong. You need to be able to say, when I am weak, I am strong, because it is no longer me that's doing anything, but it's God through me. And so I understand the mistake. It is not about you. It's about God through you, but you get to be the one doing it. See, the greatest thing you can ever do is like just get all full of God and then get out of the way, right? And then there's nothing but Jesus going. See, a lot of times what happens is God's firing us up, man. He's getting that power and that internal strength is coming, and then we get in the way and mess it all up. I'm scared sometimes when I give people a word. I'm like, man, I think I got a word from God. And so what I do is I tell people, like, sometimes it's a word from God. I'm like, hey, brother, you don't mess around. This is a word from God 100%, man. You go pray about it still, but I'm telling you, this is God. And other times I'll say, I think I got a word for you. And maybe it's God. Maybe it's pizza last night. I don't know, but... And I use this phrase, and I say, I'm going to tell you something out of my gut. It means I got a hunch, right? It means it might be from that internal strength of man, but I'm not 100%. So you need to take that and pray about it and go. See, because when God talks to you, he's going to talk to you. And if he's talking to me about you, he's certainly going to tell you too. I used to teach at this Bible college in Dallas. And it's funny. Very spiritual environment, very good, godly people. But, you know, college, 20-year-olds, and, you know, learning how to hear God's voice and whatever. And so I would counsel a lot of these girls that would be like, man, this guy came up to me, and this happened a lot. This guy came up to me after service, after chapel, and said God told him that I was supposed to be his wife. I'm like, well, you know what? If he did, if that was God, God's going to confirm that to you. Don't just like say, all right, give me the ring, let's do this, you know, because... Typically, it happened to, like, only the hot chicks. You know what I'm saying? Like, God told me. Well, Jackie, he didn't tell me, so you just wait until. And so when that happens, you know, then we're both in agreement here. The inner strength through his spirit is the key here. The spirit is the man inside of you. It's your spirit man. There's a spirit man inside of you, and there's a flesh man inside of you, right? And they're warring back and forth. And you guys may have heard this before, but it's like almost like there's two dogs inside you. There's a gray dog and a brown dog, right? And they're both fighting back and forth, your spirit man and your flesh man. And they're going, and who wins? The one you feed, or the one you say, sick 'em, right? That's the one who's going to win. When you say, sick 'em, the one, he's going to kill the other one. We need to understand, that is just not too far from the truth, right? That happens all the time. In fact, I need to probably start doing this. Man, Lord, thanks for this time together. I love it, man. Jesus, man, impact the inner spiritual man in my heart. In Jesus' name, sick him. Let's do this. And then we go off and have a good day. Hey, use it, man. I baptized a guy in between service. I said, all right, man. He goes, let's do this. Sick him. I'm like, he got it. He got it. Abraham, you crazy if you're out there, all right? I'm proud of you, man. So, through his spirit, Zechariah 4:6 says this: "Then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's army." And then we need to know that the bigger the cross, the bigger the crown, by his spirit. Verse 17, and I'll close with this and a thing from Esther. "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love to keep you strong." Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. An image of a tree is kind of at play here in the Greek, and it's talking about the growth that the tree has. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen those pictures of a tree that has all the foliage up above ground, but the root system goes way down below ground. And a lot of times it's just as intricate and as big as what's above ground. And Paul's saying, when you are around worship and that spirit man inside of you hears worship, and when you're at church and that spirit man hears the preaching of the gospel, or when you're at Starbucks with your Bible study group, or you're on the phone with your girlfriend and you're talking about the things of God, those roots grow deep and they take over. You know, spiritual growth isn't usually seen overnight. God, we can have those God moments, and it's just like at the altar today. I'm hoping hundreds of you guys have God moments today. But a lot of times we look at spiritual growth, and it's more of a process than just a wham overnight thing. And you'll look back and you'll say, man, I think I grew. right? It's like when you look at your kids' pictures growing up through the ages, you're like, man, in kindergarten, between first grade, there's a big difference, but every day to day, it didn't look that much different, right? That's our spiritual growth. As you look back over your past season, you go, I grew. And you should be growing because your roots are going as you trust God. As you trust God. Heard a story about a guy that was backpacking and he got too close to the edge and he fell off the edge. A lot of you guys have probably heard this. And on his way down, he grabbed onto a tree branch that was sticking out of the side of the cliff, right? It's dozens of feet up, hundreds of feet down. He's hanging. He's like, oh God, I know I was talking about you, about trust, but I need to trust that you're going to get me out of this right now. But God, I'm going to pray. Please send somebody to help me. Is there anybody up there? He hears nothing. Hey, God, please send somebody to help me. I trust you, but send somebody to help me. God, is there anybody up there? He hears nothing. He's like, all right, God, as he's hanging on the branch, it's slipping out. He's ready to fall. God, are you there? I'm here. Oh, God, I need your help. I'm going to die unless you help me off this cliff, and I'm slipping right now. God says, do you trust me? He goes, yes, God, I trust you. Please help me. God goes, let go. See, some of you guys have heard that. You're like, I heard that preaching before. See, what you didn't hear was the part when the guy goes, okay, God, is there anybody else up there? There's a big difference. I don't know which version you like ending better. But that's us. And we need to trust that God is going to do these roots out in us. We need to trust that God is growing inside of us. And we need to trust that this inner man is going to win. Sick 'em. I wanted to close. We're running a little late and I can't. I wanted to close with the story of Esther. I'm going to give you guys a homework assignment. Go home, read the book of Esther. It's 10 chapters. It'll take you 10, 15 minutes. It's really short. It's sweet. It's awesome. It's action-packed. It keeps on going. There's no begats in there. You know, like so-and-so is the son of so-and-so. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so you can just go right through this, all right? Esther is a woman who is placed in a strategic place at a strategic point in time to rescue her people. She had to go before the king, put her life on the line to save her people. She knew what she had internally. She knew that God had given her a quest, a mission, something to do, and she had to act on it. She had her inner man inside, and it was strong. I'm going to kind of bring things to a close here. I'm going to give two things to respond to when we pray today. Our prayer counselors are getting ready to come. I think we may even have some music. If this is your first time here today, feel free to jump in or feel free not to. It's all fine. We need some more first-timers here, so you guys, your task is out. But I'm going to pray two things. I'm going to pray, first of all, if you've never had a chance to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, if you've never had a chance to trust him for the first time, we would love to pray with you today. And we would love to encourage you with scripture and pray for you, and that know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if anything happened to you today and you were to die, you would go be with Jesus. We'd love to pray that prayer with you, man. It all starts right there. And the second thing I'm going to ask is that if you've been a little weak in your heart of hearts.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love, here is our